Now, concerning the communion, we are here for communion, and if you can limit your questions to communion or something relevant to the symbol of our faith, I think it will be better before we go to action. Are they ready to ask your questions? Those who couldn't finish your question last Friday, or you have any question, we'll take the much we can. Somebody is calling from Iceland. Brother Emmanuel from Iceland says, since we are coming to Nigeria to do correct water baptism, can we also be partakers of the Holy Communion? Sure, yes. And let's use this opportunity. If Emmanuel from Iceland is on the line, can we hear him give his testimony also? He requests, he would like to share it to the open church. I will answer your question, but if he's online, can he, if he's hearing us now, can we hear your testimony? He wants to encourage those of them who are in Europe and those also who are here by the testimony he has. Okay, before he comes online, I can answer his question. You don't have to come to Nigeria before you have correct water baptism. There is water in Iceland. Have you everywhere now ice? Iceland. Praise God. Now they bath now. Now they drink water. There's water there. Get any minister of God and tell them how you want yourself to be baptized. And they will take you to the water and baptize you. And listen to me and everybody else here too. I have explained something to you. I said, those who are qualified to take the communion, they are those, everyone that prays in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are qualified to take the communion. The communion is a demonstration of the reason why you pray in the name of Jesus. So you have to understand it. From Brother Vincent from Denmark, your question is, what about those of us outside? How do we participate in the communion service? We are bride too. Please help. Praise the Lord. Get any bread, Brother Vincent. Get any bread that has no yeast. And I know there's this French bread that has no yeast. Eh? There's one, this French bread, very long, it's not sweet at all, but very nice for tea. It has no leaven. Any bread without leaven, get it and get red wine with some percentage of alcohol and set it this night before in front of you in a table and just connect to us. When we shall be blessing this, your own too will be blessed. Remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. It is your faith that God will honor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So as I was saying, a man from Iceland, that everyone that prays in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because you believe that Jesus Christ made a way for us to the throne of grace. And anytime you pray, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, what you are actually telling God is, I am coming on the merit of what Jesus Christ did on the cross on Calvary. And then we gather once every month like this to remember what he did that gave us access to the Father. So, everyone that believes what the Lord did on the cross on Calvary, that's the reason why you have chosen to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. we come together to celebrate that body and that blood that was offered for us. And it's expected that everyone that believes that Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary for you, you will give your life to Him. The first step you take is water baptism. Hallelujah. Just keep my memory. I had intended to fill our baptismal pool with water today, so that some people will dash inside there and come back. But it's okay. You have opportunity to come here every Tuesday. Come and be baptized. And if you don't have time because of your job, let us know. We will organize your own on Sunday and baptize you. Even if it is one person, we will fill that water and baptize you. But the rest of us that have the opportunity, come here every Tuesday and let us get your sins remitted. So, the most qualified people are those who have received the water baptism, gotten their sins remitted. That is the reason Jesus went to the cross on Calvary, to remit our sins, and then we stand justified before God. What He did on the cross on Calvary is what we are here to celebrate this night. So every one of us, whether you have been baptized or not, but you are a believer, praise the Lord. And you come here, you pray your house, wherever, in the name of Jesus Christ, nothing should prevent you from participating in communion service. Yes. Question. Let me hear you, sister.
Praise the Lord. So I want to ask, they say if you are not baptized, can you be able to take Holy Communion?
I have answered that.
You cannot take it.
Try to listen to me when I'm speaking, because when I don't repeat a question, that's what I've been taking time answering here. I said that if you have not been baptized, I even said it last week Friday. I said, why will you be a Christian and not be baptized? We have to know why. Because every Christian, as soon as you give your life to Christ, the next thing is water baptism. So, what makes you a Christian when you have not identified with the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary? His death, His burial, and His resurrection. That is what you believe. And the evidence of that faith that you believe is you enter the water like He did. You are buried, as He resurrected, you come out of the water. So every believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are actually believing what He did on the cross of Calvary that set us free. And we do know that because of the denominational differences in doctrines and teachings, that there are people that have believed, but denominational wahala has prevented you from going for water baptism. There are also another group that do the water baptism, but do it wrongly. You see? And with all this error, God has raised a ministry in this age to correct this error. We heard the voice, we heard the shout, and we have trimmed our lamps of revelation, and now we know the correct water baptism. How many of you have done correct water baptism? Praise God. Amen. So, if you did it wrongly, you did it in ignorance, it does not stop you from participating, but we are believing that as you come here, you hear it, you will correct it and do the right thing. God bless you. Next person.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Pastor, there is a question I want to ask concerning this communion. Because in Europe, most of the pastors, they make their own members not to take the communion. Because most of the churches in Europe, They don't even allow the member to say they want to participate in communion. So I want to ask, what is the reason why those pastors don't want their member to participate in communion?
How can I answer for them? I'm not guilty of it.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I'm not aware. But I do know that communion is a very common thing in all churches.
Because, sir, when I ask some of the members, what is the reason why they don't participate in communion? He said their pastor told them that it is not time for them to take communion.
That's why I said they will have to answer, not to me. But I have just answered you. I said the very moment you give your life to Christ, the next thing that is left for you to do is water baptism. And if you pray in the name of Jesus Christ, then you are entitled to come together and remember what he did on the cross of Calvary that makes you to be using his name now to pray. So if they allow people to come to that church for prayer programs, and they again say, no, you cannot participate in communion, then the pastors themselves are confused.
They don't take communion in that church.
Well, okay, it's a particular church. It's okay. There are so many things going on in Christianity, but thank God our eyes of revelation, God has opened. Thank you very much.
Sir, there is a question I want to ask also, sir. Because in this bride assembly, and after the communion, then you order us to go and watch the feet.
Yes.
In most of the churches, they ignore washing of the feet. They participate on only communion, not washing of the feet.
Even this night, we are going to do feet washing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anybody here will carry that leg. Go pursue woman, pursue one prostitute. You carry that leg, waka, go enter where prostitute today. We shall wash away the curse that is following you.
Amen.
And never you go back again there.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There are three ordinances for the New Testament church. Water baptism, communion service, and feet washing. They are the three ordinances we still observe in the New Testament. And feet washing, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted it. Water baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted it. And communion, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Feet washing is John chapter 13. He made it clear. Can we read it for the purpose of those who may not know it? John chapter 13. Hallelujah. Let me quickly read it. In John chapter 13. He said, verse 2. Let me read it from verse 2. And supper being ended. So it was after the supper. The supper there is the Lord's Supper. The communion service is called the Lord's Supper. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, that is the Lord's Supper, and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, see where I am going, the emphasis, and has taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me master and lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Praise God. So feet wash is part of the ordinance. And the idea of some churches where the bishop or the overseer, the senior pastor, comes and sits down with a basin and members come and then is washing the way Jesus Christ washed his disciples' feet is wrong. He is trying to take the position of Jesus. Amen. Read that portion very well. He said he did it to them as an example that they are to wash one another's feet. I wash your own, you wash my own. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it has a meaning attached to it. And before I get to that, it's the answer to your question. So feet washing is part of the ordinance. And because Jesus Christ did it after the Lord's Supper, there is a revelatory there's a revelatory meaning to all this action. And I hope there will be time I can bring that out later. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Pastor, I want to ask this question because you know better than me. The question is under Holy Communion. Last Friday, you said that Holy Communion should be taken in the evening. And Exodus chapter 12 verse 6 proves it right. So my question there is, as far as the Holy Communion is being taken in the evening, is it good to be taking it every day?
I have just made a statement. Please try to listen to me when I speak. It will help us. I said the Bible in Matthew 26, Jesus Christ said, as often as you take it. So if you want to be taking it to remember it every evening, every night, it's left to you. There is no law against it. As often. But if you are taking it every day because of that alcohol inside, God knows your purpose for taking it every day. It is a very sacred ritual. And all the reverence must be given to it. So it's very, very important. The same respect you have to the Lord Jesus Christ is the same respect you give to that ordinance. Very important. So you don't commonize it and make it look the same way people commonize the name of Jesus. It's because they think that anytime they call Jesus, they are calling the name of that man that was hanging on the cross on Calvary. If you have a revelation of what that name is, you will know that that name, Jesus, is a name at the mention of that name, every knee bows. It's a name to be reverent because that name is the name of the creator of the heavens and the earth. Therefore, the proper knowledge of that, you cannot begin to make exclamation If your phone fall down for granted, Jesus, hey Jesus, if your car finish, you knock your foot for stone, Jesus. It's a name used for exclamation by carnal people because they have no revelation of who is bearing that name. But revelated Christians, they reference that name. And when you reference that name becomes, you know, you benefit from that name, from the power that goes with that name. The mention of that name, which we bow. When you call that name Jesus, the whole heaven stands at attention. Praise God. The same thing also, you must reference the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That is what has made us to, you know, to be above witches and wizards. That is what has given us eternal life. That is what has given us life beyond this life. It is something to be reverenced. God bless you. Yes.
Praise
okay,
up.
Emmanuel Nemeka from Norway. My name is Nemeka. I have bread and juice. Hey! Can I partake in Holy Communion? I don't have wine in my house. What will I do now? There is no substitute for the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no substitute. Nemeka, sorry, we will not give you any substitute. Juice can never substitute the blood of Jesus. Because there is nothing in that juice that reflects the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you have your unleavened bread at home, it will do you good. Just do it like that. Do it only. Use the bread only. Next time, get a bottle of wine and keep it permanently in your house. Because we shall be doing this once every month. So that you can always have wine in your house. God bless you. Don't drink that juice for communion in America and any other person when they hear me now. Thank you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. This brings me to the question I have
yes.
for you, sir. It has to do with the wine that contains alcohol.
Yes.
I've heard you several times preach that we should not take alcohol at all.
Yes.
But it surprises me to hear that there's alcohol or element of alcohol in the Holy Communion. Wouldn't it rather be said to be contradictory to your preaching? Hence, we are banned not to take or discouraged not to take alcohol at all. Why should we now take alcohol during the Holy Communion?
Praise God. I have tried to explain this several times. I said that whatever we do concerning the communion, everything has to reflect something about the Lord Jesus Christ, even including the timing. And I said that the Bible says that the bread that we take must be unleavened bread. Why? Because it is speaking of the sinless body of Jesus Christ that was bruised for us. In him was no sin. So, a yeast pops up, corrupts the flour. So you don't put yeast, which is leaven. It's also a type of sin. So, and Jesus didn't have sin in him. That is why the Bible tells us it must be unleavened bread. The wine also must have to reflect something also about his blood. Not just the color red. But there is something in his blood. Hallelujah. And that thing that is in his blood is a type of the alcohol. Alcohol is a preservative. You know that? Answer me, sir, so that they can hear you.
Yes.
Any liquid that you put alcohol there remains preserved. It can be corrupted.
Okay.
Correct?
Okay.
Until. And the longer that liquid stays without alcohol in it, the better it becomes. And there is something in the blood of Jesus Christ that Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, where he says, "Grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." Sealing there is preservation of a sinner. You give your life to Christ until the day of your redemption, the day we go in the rapture. There is something that preserves us. God's finished work in every sinner is the glorification, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Once he has given the Holy Ghost, he has finished with you. You are sealed until the day of redemption. That's why we say, once you are saved, forever you are saved. And that power that preserves us, which is the power of the Holy Ghost, was released on the cross on Calvary. When he shouted, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost. The ghost he gave up is the Holy Ghost that comes upon the believer that believes what he did on the cross on Calvary. Therefore, the wine we take with alcohol in it is speaking about the blood of Jesus Christ. And it does not say we should come and sit down and drink until we get drunk. You are just to take it. And that does not make you to have a license to go to beer parlor and sit down, or sit down in your sitting room, order for beer and drink and say, "After all, we drink it in the communion service." William Branham summarizes it this way. He said, "In this age," because he was the voice of God to this generation, "thus said the Lord." He said, "A Christian is not entitled to drink alcohol only on the Lord's table." That's all. And let me quickly tell you this. Church, listen. No truly born again Christian will have taste for alcohol. There is none. How do you mean? I am the evidence. Praise God. It's not you struggling not to drink alcohol. It's not you struggling not to smoke. It's not you struggling. The taste dies. If a man be in Christ, and you are in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's a new creature. Old nature, old taste. "The things I used to do, I do them no more. Sister, the trousers I used to wear, I wear them no more. Paint I used to paint, I paint them no more. There is a great change
since I'm born again."
God bless you.
Sir.
Yes.
I think
there's another one coming. A question from Sister Rita from Germany. Say, "My name is Rita. Is it a bottle or a glass of wine that we living outside Nigeria should use?" A cup of wine. Little cup. Can I have one? Can I have one? Can I have one? Can I have one to show them? Sister Rita, can you see? Don't go and bring one large cup and fill it and drink. Just enough for you to test it. Just enough for you to test it. God bless you.
Excuse me, sir. I think this blood of Jesus, what we are taking, is it the blood of Jesus or is a type of the blood?
I believe it is a type.
Good. So if it is a type, it means we can even take a bottle of Coke and bless it and take it in the name of Jesus. It becomes.
Listen, brother, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think you are not hearing me, you are not understanding me. Is there anything in that Coke that preserves that? If you open that Coke, if you don't drink it the next day, it is spoiled. So even that bottle of Coke has nothing to preserve it.
Well, it has preservative anyway.
Eh?
The Coke has preservative.
Listen, brother. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We all know. If you open Coke has expiry date. Eh?
Okay.
But the blood of Jesus has no expiry date. Alcohol has no expiry date.
Sir, can you be biblical in this year?
How revelation? More biblical than all I have explained?
Like,
can I be?
Like the apostles, when they took Holy Communion, was it stated that they took mixed with alcohol or something?
I don't know why you are emphasizing alcohol. Why are you not also emphasizing the bread? I'm suspecting you.
Even the bread, the same thing goes with the bread, of course.
Eh?
Something goes with the bread. Something goes with the bread.
I told you that the Bible says it should be unleavened bread. So from there, you can also understand the wine.
Okay. In this case now, there are some people who have very light brain. Even with that measurement, they can be put off by taking alcohol.
Praise God.
Of course, yes.
Don't worry, the Holy Ghost will take care of them. Since we are doing it in the name of Jesus. Jesus will make sure that little quantity does not harm them. God bless you. Can we hear you, sister?
Church, praise the Lord.
Go ahead.
Good evening, Pastor.
Yes.
I have a question that's been bothering me.
Go ahead.
I've been doing a lot of some studies and looking at some of the things you've said in church, sir. And my question goes to the issue of remission of sins.
Sorry.
Remission of sins.
Question concerning remission of sins.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask something about remission of sins.
Yes.
You know, because I've been looking at a lot of at what you've been teaching and reading. And I recall that I've heard you said one can receive the Holy Ghost in any church.
Sure.
And you also told us that once you've received the Holy Spirit, that is the yardstick for going in the rapture.
Sure.
Now, you also told us that the baptism is important for the remission of sins. So, if someone is in a denominational system and hasn't heard the correct water baptism and didn't do that, but yet received the Holy Spirit wherever he is, will he go in the rapture? And if that answer is answered in the affirmative, what happens to the remission of the sins?
Listen, church. You heard me, but you didn't hear me fully. What is the purpose of the Holy Ghost? One of the purpose of the Holy Ghost is that it will lead you to all truth. The evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost, if you receive the Holy Ghost in a wrong setting, that Holy Ghost in you will lead you to where you will have your sins remitted. That is also the evidence that is the Holy Ghost you receive. Remember, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is different from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir. Sir, there's something that I also wanted to say to you. You know, it borders on the question that the Sabbatarian asked.
So no, communion service. We are limiting ourselves today to communion.
Okay. All right, sir. Let me give it for another time, sir.
God bless you. Thank communion. You. Don't come and ask me serpent seed. All of you, they stand for life. Yes.
Praise the Lord. I think my sister has given me a lift to a question I wanted to ask.
So there's no need. Give another person microphone.
No. I have a question to ask. My question is, if I can briefly define baptism as a remission of sin, and if it is done correctly, it should be once. Now, my question is, if you cannot, maybe after the baptism, and you still see yourself sinning, what is the sense of the baptism, and can it be done once just to remit that sin? Or can we speak based on the baptism we have already for us to be remitted?
Let me quickly emphasize something, church. Listen very well. Listen. Peter had the keys to the kingdom. And the key to the kingdom that was given to him, Matthew 16, is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The key opens a door for you to enter somewhere. And to enter into the kingdom of God, the family of God, the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of the sin that you have repented from. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something? If you repented first before going for that water baptism, you will not feel comfortable anymore coming back to those things that you have repented from. It is that estate of your heart, that decision you made not to go back to your old nature again, that God sees and gives you the Holy Ghost to help you to live a life that is pleasing before Him. Because you as a human being, you cannot live a life without committing sin. But there are people that go to the altar. The truth is, they have not yet repented. Hallelujah. Let me quickly tell you something. The willpower that man has, the willpower, every man has the ability to stop doing anything he decides not to do. There is no human being that says, I cannot stop stealing. Wait till he enters jail. When he come back, when he see the thing again, when he remember what he suffer, he said, I want to enter trouble again. No, I can't go back to that place again. He will pass. There's no human being, no man, that I have a weakness. My own is fornication. Any day I don't sleep with woman, I'm not myself. You know it's a lie. Praise God. Wait until he jam again. We even get her last report for her bag. He says, stop it. I get HIV and see whether you can still say a lie. I cannot, you are irresistible. It's a lie. It will stop. It will stop. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If I see woman, my body they charge. But you are not sincere.
Not be every woman you see your body they charge. If not, if you see your mama, why your body not they charge? She not be woman. It's a lie. Thank you. If you see mad woman, why your body not they charge? So you select it. You choose who to meet. There's nothing any human being. So people deceive themselves. Even in the presence of God. And they want to make it look as if God no one make me stop waiting at it. No. So if you have repented, God sees a repentant heart. And then he say, this one really mean to serve me. Let me give you the power to live a righteous life. He gives you the Holy Ghost. So anybody here, you have entered water. You came out. You see the smoke cigar. You see the go beer parlor, drink beer parlor. You still they do all the things, all these worldly people are doing. What did you repent from before you went to the altar? So you are deceiving yourself. You did not repent from anything. You are deceiving yourself. And nobody can deceive God. He said, to the froward. He, God, will appear himself froward. The way you appear before God, now so he will appear before you too. You don't walk anyhow, corner, corner. If you say, go, they follow you, they do corner, corner. If you are serious, you will be serious with you. God bless you. Yes? Repent. Ask your neighbor, have you repented? In a fear, ask him. Ask your backyard neighbor. Ask your backyard. Answer them now. They ask you a question. Yes? Who gave the microphone? Yes?
Praise the Lord, church.
God bless you.
Good evening, sir. Something that is bothering me so much is this. I want to ask, can one receive Holy Ghost without baptism?
Water baptism?
Yes.
Yes. In Acts chapter 10, the house of Cornelius, while Peter was still telling them about Jesus, they received the Holy Ghost. It was after they received the Holy Ghost, they began to speak in tongues. Peter looked at the rest and said, they have received the same thing we receive. Remember, they are the first Gentiles to receive the Holy Ghost. He said, what stops us from baptizing them? Since they have received the same thing they too receive at the upper room. So they went and they were baptized. Sure, you can receive the Holy Ghost before water baptism. I received the Holy Ghost inside prison yard. It was when I was released that I got my water baptism.
Please, sir. To another way that I'm still confusing, but God is not the author of confusion.
Yes.
But I'm still confusing. After the Holy Ghost, after receiving the Holy Ghost, I took it as a receiving of the Holy Ghost is this. I saw a very huge fire that came upon my head 17 years ago.
What's your question? You don't know whether it is Holy Ghost or not.
I don't know whether it's Holy Ghost.
How you will know whether it is Holy Ghost or not is that after you receive that, you will notice a change in your life. Your attitude towards the things of God will change. The love for the things of God will change. And then your hatred for every act of unrighteousness will increase. That is how you will know that experience. Now Holy Ghost I receive.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay. A call is coming in. Go ahead. Next question.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord again.
Go ahead.
Amen. So my question goes this way, sir. Like, somebody that baptized when he's a child, like maybe in Catholic, can that person still go to...
It's a wrong baptism. Infant baptism is wrong. And it's not only infant...
Is it your first time coming here? Eh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That means you didn't fast with us since Monday. Amen. It's okay. I'm not condemning you. Praise the Lord. Our own fasting cover you. So every Tuesday, we are here to allow, give the people opportunity. We baptize many, many people every week. Give you opportunity to do correct water baptism. And correct water baptism. Amen. Infant baptism is wrong. Sprinkling of water is wrong. If the baptism you are boasting of is somebody sprinkle water on you, it has no relevance to that. Can I take this call? I'll get back to you. Oh, yeah, answer. Wait, who did that? Yes?
Hello? Hello? Yeah. Hello, sir. Yeah, good.
Go ahead.
Okay, good morning, sir.
Is that your wife?
Yeah, good morning, sir. This is the man from Iceland.
God bless you. Is that your wife?
Yes, sir. This is my wife.
Can we clap our hands in our church?
Yes, sir. This is Simona from Iceland. I want to share a testimony with the church.
Go ahead. Go ahead. We're hearing you.
Okay. I greet the whole church. Church Shalom. We greet you all. And I'm here to just share some little testimony because as a long I've been trying to connect to share this testimony to boost up the faith of many of our brothers and sisters out there in the world and those that are watching me right now, including those of you that are in the congregation right now, that God is really in bright assembly. If the church might permit me, I will use this word to say Pastor Moses Alu took the sword of the Spirit and clear my eyes. It did not just open it, it clear my eyes to understand the scripture. And when I come across this message, it was through Facebook. I and my sister, I saw the message of a boy, one little Moses. He was preaching, so it was so amazing. I was like, wow, can a little boy of 12 or 13 years old preach like this? I was trying to know the name of the church and I searched it up and I saw it. So when it got to a point that was like speaking against mentioning some names of church, I was provoked. I said, may God cause something to provoke you to know the truth in Jesus' name. So by the time I was looking, when I found some of the messages that Pastor Moses preached, wow. Then I got to realize and see the reason why that boy preached like that, and I keep watching the sermon every time. And it's like at the beginning, my wife was like, "Wow, are you mad? Are you crazy?" I said, "No, you will understand later." And now today, she's here with me. She doesn't miss it. And when he came back the earrings of a thing, I'm the type that likes on where it goes, no hand chains in the necklace, but I was not the type that put on earrings. It's not my taste and my character at all. But when I come across that, I was sharing tears when I heard about all these things. I said, wow, I was the person who is tying my destiny ever since. Then I put my hand in my neck and I cut off my gold necklace. And I put my wife to remove her earrings, and she removed it ever since then. She never put on earrings, nor necklace, or anymore. Apart from our wedding ring and the wristwatch you might be seeing on the screen right now. And I just quickly want to say this. When Pastor Moses is saying something, please, I beg the church and the viewers in the world today, do not put on the spirit of too much familiarity. Because people might be saying, ah, I know the next word they want to use. Is it today when you say people that know everything beforehand? But we that are part of that are here in Europe, when he made mention of that oil, that after the prayer, we should go and find a place in our cup and pick the ground and pour the oil. And you know, this is Europe. Everywhere inside, there is no place that is sand. So I have to go to a place whereby there is some carpet grass in my cup and I dug it and I pour the oil. Behold, my document that was delayed ever since then, 3 days later, and they called me and they gave me my document. And people were amazed. They were asked, how did it happen? I said, it's just God. So I am here to tell you, as time went, Pastor Moses also speaks and said, the highest prophets who into their lives are our prophetical peers. So I was like, listen to the preaching. I said, wow. But thank in the morning, every blessed month. But came to a time when I had a message, that day that the preacher, I was returning to have, and I took my work to the working place. When I came back, I repeat the sermon, and I saw everything. The next day, I was motivated to go and send my dad, personally, apart from the kiddie money I did send him, I sent him. And he went and claimed it himself and gave my mom the one I told him to give him. Mind you, that very week, the government went and said and looked at my tax rate and saw that there, my money that the deposit was too much. And the bill, if you owed all the baby, was so huge that I could use it to purchase some land property. I never expected it. So that to tell you, whenever a man of God is fulfilling a word, it's not him that is there. It is the spirit of God that are in him, that are using him to fill all these words. There are many, many, many testimonies that I have received from this ministry since I joined it. That is the reason I was the choir master in this in Redeemed Sanctuary in Iceland there. But when I saw the message, I saw that I am not belong there. This Bride Assembly is my church. That is why I identify with the Bride Assembly. Full time, 24/7. In Thursday, in Tuesday, service. In Thursday, breakthrough service. In this night, begin. Sunday, even the Wednesday, Foot of the Womb program, every last Wednesday of the month, I joined it. Then I want to use this opportunity to tell my brothers out there, and first of all, I want to give a commendation to those that are supporting this live program. If not for them, I shouldn't have even. Pastor Moses will just be preaching for every one of you and you will be benefiting from him. But the people that sponsor this, I bless you. God is richly blessing you, and I am in support of those now because I joined you. You guys started it. We need to encourage this broadcast more and more. So that the words you hear is like the way I'm one of the soldiers that have caught you with your money. So I keep doing it, God will bless you the more, brothers. And I want to thank the ministers who are working under Pastor Moses in that ministry. I greet you all in Jesus' name. And all my sisters, I thank you all, including our daddy's wife. And supporting the ministry like this, every one of you obeying the word of God, not looking at what the people will say, remove your earrings and don't put on with one and trousers and all that. I know it is very difficult for this age we are, but for you to do this is a big sacrifice. Behold, you will not regret it. God will bless all of you. So I'm just making you to understand that Bright Assembly is here in Europe, is here live, direct. And I've been spreading the gospel here also. And I know my son, anything that is being done in that study, I am a partaker of it all.
Clap your hands now for our God. Hallelujah. Ibo Oyibo, remove earring and jewelry. Throwaway trouser in Europe. Nigerian woman, they say, but. There's a difference between a goat and a sheep. What's the difference? Hallelujah. A sheep. Even if you are carrying it to go and kill that sheep, if you say amen, as long as my master the dragon, will you follow me? Amen. Drop your trouser. Amen. Stop your painting.
Amen.
But a goat, even if you are dragging it to go and eat grass, he will still say, but. They want to reason the word of God. Head, you go carry a head, but. Head, but. Any goat here? Let the sheep say amen. Anyway, I'm a pastor of sheep. Praise the Lord. Christian from Japan, is he on the line now? Christian from Japan, is he on the line? Okay. Before he comes online, I was telling you about correct water baptism. That water baptism, anybody sprinkling you water and saying baptize you, he has not baptized you because you have to be buried. And to be buried, you have to be covered. That's why water baptism is by immersion. Let's take this other call from Japan. Yes. You don't cut again. And those of you who baptize by immersion, there is wrong immersion. So it is not enough that you baptize by immersion. You are to baptize according to Matthew 28 verse 19. That is what the problem is for anybody hearing me for the first time. You are to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Father is not the name. Son is not the name. Holy Ghost is not the name. Baptize in the name of the Father. You look at me like this. What is the name of your father?
Sir Raphael.
Eh?
Raphael.
No, the name of your father is Father. Correct?
Sir, I didn't get you, sir.
The name of your father is Father.
Okay, his father.
Okay, what's the name of your father?
My father.
Yes.
My biological father.
Whether you're biological or anything, your father, what's his name?
Okay, sir. His name is Raphael, sir.
Raphael.
Yes, sir.
Raphael is the name of your father.
Yes, sir.
So if you are asked to go and do something in the name of the father, which name will you use?
Raphael.
Yes, sir. Because you know the name. Father is not the name. Church, our Heavenly Father has a name. And the Son has a name. And the Holy Ghost has a name. Go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It means there is one name. And that name is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And every baptism in the Bible was done in that name. Church, what is that name? Every baptism in the Bible was done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because that name Jesus is the name of the Father that he gave to the Son. And the Holy Ghost is coming in that name, Jesus. Therefore, correct water baptism in obedience to Matthew 28 verse 19. Which says, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say in the names. In the one name. The name of the Father and the same name of the Son and the same name of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. To obey that commandment is to bring somebody inside the water and baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have baptized him according to Matthew 28 verse 19 in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So if anybody took you to the water according to Matthew 28 verse 19 and put you inside the water. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and put you inside water and bring you out. He has not yet obeyed Matthew 28:19. Therefore, it is wrong baptism. It was handwriting on the wall. It was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Everything we receive from God is by faith.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Spirit of delusion.
They told you it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is His mercy is still available.
The trials of a Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God because we are in this world but not of this world.
Go and re-baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. For that name, Jesus, is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Correct interpretation of the Bible. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, sir, my next question is that children, are they allowed to take Holy Communion?
Now, when it comes to children, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen, when you say a child, it depends on the age of the child. And every Christian parent want to bring up your child in the way of the Lord. Therefore, you should begin to teach the child who Jesus Christ is and what he did for you, for him on the cross of Calvary. And teach him also about communion, what it means. Bring up the child the way he should go, and when he grows, he will not depart. So, the purpose of doing it is part of training. Showing him the way of the Lord. But you cannot take that child for baptism because he must make up his mind. You don't train somebody by baptizing him. God bless you.
Okay, sir, my third question is that can a sinner take Holy Communion?
A sinner?
Yes, sir.
Define a sinner. Who is a sinner?
I mean, someone that someone that do go to church and still commit and still live in sin.
That means he's an unbeliever. Unbelievers don't even take communion. They don't believe. If for instance now, you left your girlfriend at home, let's assume that you believe in prayer in the night before you sleep. Then after sleeping with your girlfriend, that night, girl, when you never marry, can you kneel down and pray and bind devil and bind and say, God, watch over? Can you pray?
No, sir.
Why can't you pray?
Because I will not have the zeal to pray.
Not the zeal, because you know your prayer will not be answered. Okay. It has nothing to do with zeal. You know God cannot answer your prayer because God answering the prayer of sinners. And in a church like this, that is why we had this since Monday till today, Friday, we were on consecration, asking the Lord to forgive us, asking the Lord to have mercy on us, and in that estate, we come and participate in the communion.
Okay, sir. So what I want to understand is that, because you have never made me clear. I asked the question, I said, can a child, maybe children, maybe a child of 5 years or 10 years, can he take communion?
I have answered you. I say he can take it.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Church, praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I will be a little bit fast so that I will give room to other people. Pastor, Holy Communion is heavenly ordinance. Because it reminds us that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our own sin. And he commanded us to do it in the remembrance of him. Then, water baptism is also very important in Christian race. Because it is the
What's your question?
It's through this I want to drive out my question now.
You are going too far because of time.
All right, sir. Then, sir, Holy Ghost baptism is also very important for heavenly race. So my question now is, from these three heavenly rays or heavenly oddness now, is anyone more important than other? That if one doesn't do other ones and have one, maybe partake in one, that person will make heaven. Then second question is, if maybe a Christian who partakes in these three, is there any assurance that Christian will make heaven? Thank you.
Praise God. Let me tell you why the three of them, they are important, and that it is not possible to do one and leave the rest. If you do one, it will lead you automatically to do the rest. If you baptize water baptism, it is because you have decided to repent. Once you repent, you position yourself for the power that was released on the cross on Calvary to come upon you, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And once you repent, that sin that brought us into the condition that we are in like this, that sent Jesus Christ to the cross on Calvary, must be remitted before you can be justified before God. Therefore, once you have repented, you must be baptized. It is automatic. You cannot repent without baptism. So the three of them, they go simultaneously like that. Now, the three works of grace, they are justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Now, verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. And whom he called, them he justified and glorified. So when God justifies you, he will glorify you. And the glorification is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the reason you go to heaven is because you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. Finish? Are you okay?
I said about the second question, whereby maybe a Christian, although the explanation is just very simple, but maybe a Christian, let us not deceive ourselves, who has partaked in these three things right now, nobody's perfect. Maybe would that person be assured of heaven?
Now, the assurance is, listen, the assurance is in Romans chapter 8 verse 11. Read it. Open your Bible. I hope you can read. Romans 8. I hope you can read. Okay, now read it, verse 11.
Praise the Lord, church.
Yes. Okay, read verse 9 first.
Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit.
Yes.
If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you.
If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you.
Now, if any man have not spirit of God, he is not.
Read what you see.
Okay. If so, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
So you are a Christian because you have the Spirit of Christ. Now, verse 11.
But if the Spirit of him that will raise up Jesus from the dead dwell in you.
If the Spirit the rest of Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, what happens?
He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
So that is the assurance that once you have the Holy Ghost,
heaven is assured.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord. Sir, I want to ask concerning the Holy Communion that Jesus took with his disciples before he died.
Yes.
In Luke 22, verse 18, Jesus said, "For I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine." Praise the Lord. So I want to ask, this fruit of the vine, is it not fruit wine? Because you know, I know that fruit wine used to have preservative. And this preservative, as you said, is the Holy Spirit. But if this preservative is not the one of alcohol, because there are different things you can use to preserve. You can use vinegar, you can use other preservative to preserve a fruit vine, fruit of a vine. So I want to ask,
do we drink vinegar?
Sir?
Can you drink vinegar?
They use it for preservative.
Can you drink vinegar?
You can't drink it.
So the preservative must be a drinkable liquid.
Okay, the preservative they use for fruits of the vine.
Now, the fruit of the vine there is grape. Yes. Okay? And when you squeeze out that water, that liquid from grape, and you ferment it, it becomes alcohol. That is what makes that wine to be preserved. Because alcohol is produced from the fermentation process of the vine, the fruit that comes from the vine. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Shepherd, good answer. My question goes like this. I want to ask, is there a difference between the baptism of the John the Baptist and our Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples?
The difference?
Yes, sir.
John, okay.
Secondly, by what name does John the Baptist baptize and his disciple and our Lord Jesus Christ?
Praise God. John the Baptist. Can we open it? I think John himself answered it in John chapter 2 or 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know if I can remember where he answered that question. Hallelujah. Who is giving me scripture there? Yes. Yeah, Paul answered. Okay, let's take that of Paul. When he was answering those people, this is the way that Paul treated it in Acts chapter 19. Verse 3 says, "And he said unto them," because they were only baptized by Paul. Verse 3, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, we should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." This is the baptism that John the Baptist, that is the one he baptized. If we go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Thank you very much. Apostle Paul answered it this way. John answered it this way. Verse 11. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So when you ask the difference between John's baptism and Jesus' baptism, is that Jesus Christ, I hope you know, Jesus Christ is not baptizing us with water baptism.
Yes.
is baptizing us with the Holy Ghost. But John the Baptist was baptizing them for repentance. When you repent, come for purification. Purify yourself. Clean up yourself from all the nyama-nyama you are doing. The question is, in which name was he using? It was purification according to the laws of Moses. So they were under the Old Testament. We are in the New Testament. And the name that is given to us for our redemption is the name of Jesus. So you have to understand that. Because Colossians 3 verse 17 says, in word, indeed, whatever we do, we should do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes, brother. The last two people now.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Safa, because you use other people's question to answer my own question. But I still have one thing to ask.
Yes.
Like in some churches, based on water baptism.
Talk to microphone. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Based on water baptism, many churches, maybe they do baptize when they are small or something like that. Why some? Thank you. Why some do baptize maybe at the age of 20-something years? Why they have not repented? Now, if the person migrate from that church to another church, is there any necessity to be rebaptized?
What we do here is to teach you correct water baptism. And it is done only once, if it is done correctly. It's not that you have to go to a church. Or if you come to Bride Assembly, decide to make this church your church, then you have to baptize again. No. If it has been done correctly, you don't need to be baptized again. Because you identify with the death and burial of Jesus. And Jesus Christ died only once. So you baptize unto his death once. If it was done correctly. So if you go to a church and you discover that the last baptism you did was wrong, it is only normal that you correct it and baptize again.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord, church. My question is based on Bible book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 27.
Talk so that we can hear you.
Yeah, it says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the Lord, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 29 said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh domination to himself.
Damnation.
Sorry. Now I want to ask, how can it be said that someone is unworthy of eating or taking part of this Holy Communion?
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Open 1 Corinthians again, chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, a man was caught in the church at Corinth that took his father's wife. And Apostle Paul was telling them what to do. That they should cast him away. And then he gave an admonishment that I want to make reference to in verse 7. Read it.
Verse 7 said, put out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Mm-hmm. Go on, the next verse.
Next verse, verse 8 says, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness.
Let's keep what? Talk. You are reading
feast,
something.
Feast.
The feast. You know the feast is referring to there? It's the communion. This is the feast. He said, let us keep the feast. Read it.
Let us keep the feast, not with the old
leaven. Uh-huh. That is your old nature. Uh-huh.
Neither with the leaven of malice.
Malice.
And wickedness.
And wickedness.
But
with the unleavened bread.
Unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If you are keeping malice, there's something you did not complete there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Finish reading it first.
I jumped.
No, read another place there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where you read? Verse 29, yes?
29.
Yes.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily,
yes,
eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
My emphasis there is not discerning the Lord's body. That is, he that eateth unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not understanding the Lord's body. And what led to that was each time they come before communion, the feast of the Passover, what they do is you see people keeping malice with one another, unforgiveness with one another, and he's saying that you do that, and in that estate, you come to take the communion, you are taking damnation to yourself. The reason is this. He said, you don't understand the Lord's body. You don't know that Jesus Christ is no more physical. Jesus Christ is seen among us. We are members of his body. Anything you do to any member of the body, you are doing it to Christ. So if you keep malice with a brother, with a sister, you are keeping malice with Christ. If you unforgiveness among you and all the carnalities that go on, you do it among yourselves because you don't even understand the Lord's body. In Matthew 25, he said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, what was it? When I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, you visited me. He said, and they said, when were you in prison and we visited you? When did we see you naked and we clothed you? He said, as much as you've done it to the least of this, my brother, you've done it to me. So you have to understand that. There are people, remember that we are coming today and we are coming to share from the same lump of bread. We are going to tear that bread into pieces. You are taking from the same lump that I am taking, because all of us are connected to that one body of Jesus Christ. And we are saying we are one. And here we are divided through malice, unforgiveness, gossip, hatred, wickedness. There are Christians that set a trap for another Christian to enter. And they go, they laugh. When you are suffering, they are saying, hey, they are happy that you are suffering. They say, how can you do that? How can a hand be happy that leg is suffering? When one member suffers, the whole members suffer with that member. So if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he explained how the body of Jesus Christ is. One body, many members. The eye is a member. The nose is a member. The hand is a member. The leg is a member. Apostle Paul says some members are seen visible, some are not visible. And the more important ones, they are the ones that are not even known. We cannot see the heart. But the day the heart stops functioning, all the other bodies will collapse, die. And so also it is in the church. So he said, you do that because you don't understand the Lord's body. And he that drinketh unworthily, praise the Lord. Unworthily there, you must come with reverence. Last communion service we had here, one drunkard saw it as opportunity to drink alcohol. Now that person, you drink it in that attitude, you are drinking unworthily. You are making caricature of the suffering that Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for us. Praise God. Now there's another group, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where we read. Go to verse 11.
Verse 11.
Yes.
But now I have written unto you.
Listen carefully.
Not to keep company.
Uh-huh.
If any man that is called a brother.
If he says a Christian brother, you call him brother. 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 Sister. Sister Ngozi. Sister Chinaka. Sister Amaka. Brother Jude. Brother Nanti. Brother double standing. Uh-huh. Whether a single standing you be. But I say you are brother. If that brother be a fornicator. Screen it again. I'm reading it.
If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator.
Number one, a fornicator. Or let me read it. Or covetous. Or an idolater. Or a railer. Or a drunkard. Or an idolater. An extortioner. He said, with such a one, know not to eat. The eat there is not to eat a banaku in your house. It's to eat the Passover feast together with that person. Don't eat with him. Because that person is eating unworthily. And he said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so, a church that knows there are such people, you don't allow them to join you in celebrating the body of Jesus Christ. So, those are some of those that cannot participate. If you eat it in that estate, if you're a 419 here, don't eat all until you have made up your mind, I don't go 419 again. If you're a drug pusher that is making people to run mad everywhere, don't all until you have made up your mind to repent, to stop it. A fornicator, and a fornicator is not only one that goes look for women and men, they just sleep for fun and have fun like that. It includes a man that keeps a woman in the house and you never marry her. You're a fornicator. How can you carry somebody's daughter and keep in your house? You don't pay her dowry. That's how they marry your mama. That's not how your mama was married. And you tell everybody, that's my wife. You think it's easy to get a wife like that? If not, everybody here, all these single brothers will never get a wife. They don't get a house. Eh? Now they never get, if it's so easy, just see any girl, say, Wajoko. You know there's Wajoko. Come stay now, come stay. Produce one picking for you. Produce second picking for you. Third picking for you. You never pay her dowry. And you think you are smart. Before God, you are in a serious abomination. I'm saying it hard. Not for you to drive the woman away. Malai, you must marry her. I am saying go and pay. Go and pay. If you have been living with any girl, even if now 2 months, should they live with you? Sister, no come out. Now lie, no come out. You don't spoil your market finish. Everybody they see you say you be a wife. Then you come up, go where? Stand, go and pay. They say you should drive her away. Praise God. If you have decided after this night, you didn't know the offense, that was an abomination you were committing, and you have decided, oh God, I'll make sure I go and pay after today, you can take it. Because that is what God wants to hear from us, that we repent. But if you are sitting down here, I'm not sure, so I go marry this girl. I can't pay you, I can't pay you, I'm not going to lie. So, you not go marry her, why you keep her for your house? You're a wicked man. Very wicked. You spoil all her market. Everybody around knows, say you be a husband. Now you there for her Facebook. Every whole world knows, say she is this. Then you say, I'm not sure. Say, I go marry you. I'm not sure. You're not sure. Why you open your domain? You can't say for your house. Praise the Lord. There are people that are that wicked. Inside their hearts. No conscience. It's so easy to disappoint. It's so easy to break somebody's heart. And you don't know that you cause anybody to cry. The cry of the innocent. Heaven, yeah, is it? Anyway, you too. Why you pack? Go stay there. So you're not innocent. You're not innocent. Why will you go and stay with a man whenever pay? What's your problem? So you are not innocent. You are not innocent. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let every drunkard here repent. Let every adulterer, that is even the worst. A man will have a wife at home and go and keep some other women somewhere and carry Bible. Say, I be Christian. Ha! Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, sometimes we don't hear such messages anymore in churches. So all this rottenness has entered the church. People think that they can bribe God with tithe and offering. You can't bribe God with tithe and offering. If you are a fornicator and you bring tithe and offering to God, you are chucking your finger in his eye. You are insulting him and you don't know it. Because, sister, you slept with your boyfriend, they carry money give you. Then you say, make a compare tithe. I am very faithful in my tithe. And you don't know that that is the wages of prostitution. No, it's true. If that man doesn't sleep with you, will he give you money? Close your legs. See whether he will give you money again. And then you say you know God. You don't know God. Nothing. You don't know God anywhere. Don't put that offering here today. In fact, don't put that mouth in our communion cup. Don't put that mouth in our communion cup. Unless you are ready to repent. Unless after today, you say, I no open leg for him again. Don't do that until you repent. Praise the Lord.